you would tonight, would you stand and in respect to reading God's word and open your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, tonight I'll be preaching on a verse that I guess it's not has been preached on this verse, but I praise God. I do believe the word of God is inspired. Say amen. Every book, every chapters, every verses, every title, the Bible says. And thank God for the King James Bible. Amen. If you have tonight, if you don't have a King James Bible, you have other versions, throw it out. Get a hymnal. It's more inspired than what you have tonight. But thank God for the word of God. 2 Samuel tonight. And I'd like you to open the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 25. Glad to see a good friend of mine, Brother Vincent. Been praying for him and just thrilled. It's been 12 years since we have seen each other. I'm glad to see him faithfully serving the Lord in that part of the world. And thankful again for Pastor Ennis. We've been praying for him. He hasn't changed a bit, you know. Hasn't changed a bit. I was always told, agile, you don't age. I mean, you look still young. I said, well, you know, I'm now 43 years old, and it doesn't show on my face. It shows on my walk. Amen. But thank God. And they asked me, now, how do you Asians? You don't age. What's the secret? It's rice. It's rice. And I told you, I don't know if I told you this in this church, but what you eat affects your eyes. You know that? You know, like Americans, you got your eyes like that because you eat a lot of cattle, steaks, you know. Filipinos, we have this eyes because we eat a lot of rice, brown eyes, you know. Chinese, they got their eyes because they eat a lot of noodles. Because when they serve noodles, they said noodles again. That's how they got their eyes. So, well, amen. Praise God for God's good and God's blessing. 2 Samuel 23, and it's a great joy. I really feel at home coming back to fellowship. I feel that it's also our church home and study here. Thankful for Clarksville Theological Seminary for what they do. Brother Brian, and great to see Brother Keith. And you, man, yeah, you've just been a blessing and thankful for what you do. And Pastor was telling me that you're going to have a doctor of philosophy soon. So I told him that maybe I'm going to enroll again and, you know, get this a mind still, you know, studying and keep that alert and just be a blessing to the ministry. 2 Samuel 23, verse number 25. And we're going to read six words in this verse. And then we're going to pray and get to the word of God. 2 Samuel 23, 25. Shammah, the Haradite. Elikah, the Haradite. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we thank you, Lord, to be back in this place with this dear people, your family, Lord, your church here and your people. Lord, looking back for 12 years since we were here first time, Lord, we bring a lot of memories, a lot of joy, Lord, and I know that lots of people have been prayed for us and supported us and just tried to lift us, Lord, and maybe we could have talked tonight and reported on the victories that you are doing in the work there in the Philippines, but Lord, in between of those are challenges and heartaches and Lord, just trying to trust you, and we thank God for the faithful prayers of this people in this church. We thank you for the pastor, for his life, for his legacy, for his example. Thank you for the dear people, Lord, still here, faithfully serving you. In spite of all, the church have changed and people have changed and they have remained unfaithful and they have been unfaithful. Thank you, Lord, for every time we come to Fellowship Baptist Church, we see a church here, Lord, who has been faithful and trying to serve you the best way they can until you come. And Lord, I pray tonight, you just help me preach the word of God, be an encouragement to them. I pray you hide me behind the cross. May these people never see me, but they see you. And Lord, I pray that you meet every need that you only can do through your word. Lord, I ask if there's someone who's lost, save them. For us are saved, Lord, tonight again. Help us not just to be challenged, but help us to be changed for your glory and for your honor. May we become a better people for you each day. We ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I guess I need to match first my lapel mic here. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. In the Philippines, I always say, preach to ours. Okay? Don't get nervous. I'm not going to do it tonight. Okay? But let me tell you this. If you say amen, I'll be short. Okay? Yeah, I promise you. If you say amen, I'll be short. If you keep quiet, it'll be long. You know, I always explain that. You know, I'm a Baptist from head to toe. Always been in church. And I'm sadly, I know how Baptist people think. And you don't realize this, but when the preacher is preaching and you just keep quiet, you're telling your pastor, your preacher, pastor, we don't get it, we don't understand it. You know, stay there, kind of explain it long, so it gets longer. But you say amen, you're telling your preacher, preacher, God spoke to us, we're convicted, we're blessed, move on to the second point, and this gets shorter. That's how it is. But you know, thank God for being here tonight and being with your people. Well, 2 Samuel chapter 23 is a chapter that lists God's mighty men, David's mighty men, the man that has been honored by the king. And, you know, I believe every word in the Word of God is inspired. Thank God for this word. It's inspired. It's God. There's no mistake in it. It's impeccable. It's God's word. And thank God that even in our generation, we still have the word of God. Some people say that, hey, the original is just the inspired. Well, tell you what. They're not longer here, but God says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall pass away. It'll be in all generation. I believe that, and I was growing up, I always read the Bible, and I don't know about you, but when I read the Old Testament, and you come to those names, sometimes I don't want to read those names. You know, I said, what does this names have to do with, why did God put them there, you know? I hardly can pronounce these names. I don't know who they are, but I do believe that God has really a purpose. And there's a reason why God allows those names and those verses and those words to be included in the Word of God, inspired. So I know tonight that most of you grew up in church, you have read your Bible. If not, the text we've read are the names of David's mighty men. And the king now is honoring this man by writing those in this chapter. And I believe even tonight that when you honor God, the king, God is going to honor you. And every name is important. You may not know by pastors or preachers, but I guarantee you, God knows your name. And if you're saved, your name is written in heaven. Say amen. Amen. But you see, in the Word of God, it's just a privilege to see all these names written here. One time I was reading this, and you know, I was looking at that. I know Abner and Ner, those men there that is equivalent to 300 men, and man, they got honored, and we know why they are here. But let me ask you this tonight. How many of you, and I know you're not knowledgeable than me, or more smarter than me, how many of you would know who Shammah and Elika, who are these men? I know there are several Shammahs in the Bible. Kind of study that. But this particular Shammah here in verse 125 is just mentioned twice in the Bible. In fact, tonight, let me say this, the name Elika is only mentioned once in your Bible, and that's the verse. But I wonder tonight, how many of us would know who they're these people are? Why would there be included in the list of David's mighty men? Well, I'm glad you never answered, because you'll never find out anything about them. Except that I get excited because the Word of God explains itself. You know, you ask me, Pastor, then who are those men? I'll tell you who are those men. They are Herodites. Where do you get that verse? Who are those men? They're Herodites. The Bible says to them, God says they're Herodites. Shammah, the Herodite. Elika, the Herodite. People come to me and said, hey, Pastor, I don't understand the Bible. I said, well, yes, you won't unless you read it. When you read it, you're going to understand it. Say, man, they're Herodites. Now, this gets me excited. Now, what is a Herodite? Well, I think Herodites are people that came from Herod. Amen. Am I right, Fisher? Yeah. I mean, Herodites are people that came from Herod. Okay, but get nervous. My introduction is 30 minutes. My preaching is 5 minutes. Now, let me ask you this third question, and I get excited about this preacher. Now, how many of you would know what significant thing happened in Herod? When I was growing up in Sunday school, this is the top three stories in the Old Testament. I love this. This is an exciting story. Something happened in Herod. Top three stories in the Bible. And if I tell you the story, you're going to realize it's a great story. Because in Herod is where Gideon gathered the mighty men that fought the 135,000 Midianites. Most of you would know it's the story of Gideon and the 300. Say amen. You know that? Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. It's a God story. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't go in church, don't worry. I'm going to fill you in a little bit. I'm going to go through preaching just to get us all in the right context, okay? Now, you know, that time the Israelites had judges. And every time that God looks for men to lead his people to victory. And I believe it always happens in every generation. God could do what he does. He's a sovereign God. He does not need us to do what he wants to do. But listen, in God's plan, in the Word of God, whenever God wants to do something in every generation, he's going to look for men to stand up and lead his people to victory. And that man that day, that generation is Gideon. In fact, Gideon said, Lord, I'm not fit to that. I'm not qualified. And you know the story, he wanted to verify God's calling, and he put out the fleece. And finally he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. Then the whole Israelites heard that Gideon was God's man in that generation. And 22,000 men gathered to him in Harod. In Harod, Judges chapter number 7. And this is God's story. Man, that's 22,000, that's a lot. Yeah, only if they're not up against 135,000. And I guarantee you, my friends, tonight, if that was me, I'm not going to go there. The odds is big. 22,000 against 135,000, yes. You know why it's a great story? Because it's God's story. And it gets better. God says, Gideon, 22,000, that's a lot. It's a lot. Make an announcement. Those of you who are afraid, go home. If I don't know about you, I'll be afraid. 22,000 against 100, I'll go home. And yes, 12,000 went home. 12,000 went home. And let us do the math. I'm not good at math. That's why I became a pastor. Say amen. 22,000 minus 12,000. How many is left? I think we got different answers. I think you went to different schools. Amen. 10,000. Man, this is going to go God's story. 10,000 against 135,000. Yes, except that it gets better. God says, make announcement. All those 10,000 men, bring them to water and let them drink. Those who are going to drink the water and lap the water like dogs, send them home. Those who are going to drink water using their palms, and they're careful, they're in a wide battle, I'm going to use them. Now, I'll say something. Most of us, we're called by God to do something in our generation, but we're afraid. And even if we're ready to fight the Lord, but we're careless in our life. 9,700 was rejected by God. They were careless. They were careless. Only 300 were careful. But it gets better. Amen. God says, tell those 300, drop their swords, their spears, and their shields. What? We're going to fight a battle? We're just only 300? We don't have swords, spears, and shields? Tell you what, when you're with God, you're going to win. Say amen. Amen. I'm on the winning side. Like that song? The man said, what are we going to use? Well, you're going to use this. You're going to bring a pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. How many of you like to go to battle? Go to Mindanao in the Philippines. Fight a battle there, the southernmost part of the Philippines, against men with only a pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. You like to torch the enemy? With swords? But God says this. Give the instruction to men. In the middle of the night, those 300 men surrounded the 135,000 Midianites. God said, you're going to blow the trumpet. You're going to blow the trumpet. You're going to break the pitcher. You're going to light up the torch. And that day, Judges chapter 7, that's a great story. That's a real story. That God wrought a great victory to his people. Pastor, why you tell the story? Go back to our text. This man, this boy, Shammah and Elika. I did a little study, Brother Brian. Between Judges chapter number 7 and 2 Samuel chapter number 23, there has been more or less more than 50 years that has passed. So it means this. Shammah and Elika was not part of that battle. They were never there for the battle. Most probably, and I believe this, Brother Brian, Pastor, that their grandfather or their father was the one who fought the battle on that day. And the only reason why they are being honored on this chapter tonight is because they are simply Harodites. They have a great legacy. So tonight, let me preach on that subject. Our legacy. Our legacy. I believe tonight, your country, some of you tonight, me including, I'm the third generation Baptist preacher, I'll be the blessing I receive now and you receive now is simply because we have been passed on a great heritage of faith. We have been passed on and God is still honoring us tonight because we have been given
a heritage that our forefathers, our great-grandfathers, those that went before us, saw God in their life, in their generation, and they saw that God great victory in those times, and we are just being honored tonight with that legacy. These boys, Sham and Elika, they never were in that battle, but I do believe this. Maybe they're growing up, their father, grandfather say, hey, you boys come here. I'm going to tell you what God did that day. I'm going to tell you who God is and what God did, a miracle. And hey, listen, God is real. Those boys never had experience, never had a personal experience of that battle. But because they had a grandfather, they have a father, people before us that saw who God is and had experienced God, these boys in their generation had the idea, have the sense, and have the thing to know who God is, and God is real, and they have been given a great heritage in that generation. That, let me say the first thing, and says, all of us tonight are honored by God. If you're saved tonight, if you're here tonight in America with a great country, and you have, I know things are not well and that not, but you have a great blessing because your country, your forefathers have standard on the word of God. And even though this country, I read news, although this country, government sometimes go away from the word of God, but still God honors you because you have been given a great legacy. And sometimes most of us doesn't realize that. We neglect that. Sometimes we disdain those that have given us a great faith. And by the way, number two, let me say, legacies could either be good or bad, worldly or godly. But thank God these boys, they had a great godly heritage. Sometimes boys, young people grew up in church. And all this coming here in the States every year, oh, every time we come here, we were here last two years ago, that it seems that there are many churches that have fewer young people and fewer young people in churches. And I do believe many young people doesn't realize this because they have never seen what God did. They have never heard what God did before. They're looking for new things. But listen, let me encourage you tonight. Thank God that you have a church, you have a country, you have Christian parents that preach the word of God. You go away from the word of God. You go away from this book. You're away from God's people, God's house, you'll never find peace. Never find joy. God destroy your life. God is still God without us, but we could never be man without God. You see, tonight, these boys, Sham and Elika, they were honored tonight in this book because they had a great legacy. They were Haradites. And although they were given a great legacy, but listen, it could be good and bad. Let me go ahead myself and give you the third thing. Don't you understand the word of God? Sham and Elika. I've mentioned that before. Sham has just mentioned twice. Elika has just mentioned once. Tell you why. Because God's going to make another list, the same exact list in the book of Chronicles. And I believe this, when God repeats himself, it's very important. When the word of God repeats itself, it's something very important. I do believe that. Like the word of God says there, word, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again. That's very important, my friend. But God's going to make the same list in the book of Chronicles. But you're going to notice, and you don't have time. Read the book of Chronicles, Shammah's name will still be there. But Elika will not be there. And I studied that, preacher. And I said, why would Shammah and Elika is mentioned on the first list? 2 Samuel. But in the book of Chronicles, Elika's name is not mentioned there. Could it be God forgot him? I don't believe that. Could it be that it's another list? No, you study that book. It's the same exact list, the same mighty men that God honored. But I get to study that and realize something happened. Between the first list, that they were honored by God simply because they had a great legacy that time. And God makes another list several years after. Shammah recognizes his legacy and the blessings of being a Haradite and seeing God in his life. But I do believe Elika had a careless life. And the second list is no longer there. And God rejected him. Well, yeah, Pastor, why do you judge him that he's rejected by God? Well, it's interesting. Because if you study the name Elika, it means this: God rejected me. That's the meaning of his name. But God rejected him. Could it be? Going back several years ago, that Elika, maybe his grandfather was with those that gathered in Herod. But just maybe, his grandfather is part of those 9,700 that was rejected by God. So although he was a Herodite, it seems maybe that when he had a problem in his life, when there were challenges in his life, although he knew God, heard about God, but he looked back at the examples he had, it kind of influenced his life. And he made also the same careless decisions in his life. Although God honored him, but God cannot use him, and he was rejected. Say this tonight, my friends, you and I, thank God, God loves us in spite of who we are, in spite of our sin. But there's something in the Word of God. When once we get saved, God wants us to live a holy, a godly life. Because God wants to use us. And it's sad today that many Christians in many churches would say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I don't care. And by the way, most Christians would have this notion, preacher, that the reason why that I'm saved is just to go to heaven. I don't believe that. That's not the purpose of being saved. I believe that's the gift of being saved. Say amen. Romans says, it is the gift of God. Heaven is a gift of being saved. But that's the purpose. Because if that's the purpose of being saved, the moment you got saved, you could have died and went to heaven immediately. But most of us tonight, we have been saved when we were young. Saved when we had strength and life. Because I do believe God doesn't want us just to be saved. But the purpose to serve him and be a light of this world. See, there are many definitions the Bible would say. But the only important definition that God explains, Jesus Christ himself explains this, John 7:3. And this is life eternal. Watch this. It's heaven. It's to say that the life eternal and the purpose, and this life eternal, that we may know thee. And I believe this, the purpose of being saved, heaven is the gift. But the purpose is to know Christ. And the more we know Christ, the more we're going to know his heart, his vision, and we cannot just be able just to be saved. We will be compelled to serve the Lord. I believe Elika made it a careless decision. God could have used him. By the way, I believe still also, don't get me wrong, that God is still a God of second chance. Now those things that God is looking for men and women in every generation that would lead his people to victory. And God says that we must be able to be careful in our Christian life. Let me add this in closing, and that's a great way to say amen in the Baptist church. In closing, amen. Don't worry, I always say this. I'm a real Baptist preacher. I still have finally, lastly. No, I'm kidding. In closing, even if they were given a great heritage, they, an opportunity, let me add this, but you would never make the right choice to honor God if you don't stay close with God. Challenge me, even as a pastor in the Philippines. I miss a lot of people there. You know, I pastor 5 churches. Got a lot of young people. We just finished our daily vacation Bible school. We got about 1,000 children there. I've seen young people that have a good pastor, good church, solid Bible, heard many preachings, but they still make the wrong decisions. They still make wrong choices. I encourage you tonight. Hey, you cannot make the right church, the right choices away from the right church, the right book, and from God. And these guys both had an opportunity. Both were to honor God. But Shammah remained faithful, and Leka never did. Listen tonight, and I'm going to ask this finally. Even though maybe you say, I don't have a great heritage, I don't have a godly parent, but it's what gets me excited. Because whoever you are, whatever your past is, but if you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you become saved. God can make a brand new legacy starting with your life. Starting with your life. You know, my family, I've told this testimony, My grandfather was saved when an American soldier went back there as a missionary by the authority of Robertson, won my grandfather to the Lord in 1943, won his little family. My dad, my mom, my grandfather's daughter, my mom, married my dad. My dad was not a pastor before, but my dad was in the mountains of Tayabas, Quezon for several years before him. The De Torreses are known for people who wakes up in the morning in the mountain and gets off coconut fruits from coconut trees, pull it down, then, you know, take it open, dry it under the sun, get the coconut oil, sell it. Then after they got money from the town, my grandfather, my great-grandfather would buy coconut fermented juice, that's their booze, and get drunk until they sleep. Next day, they're going to wake up again, do the same thing for several generations. That's what the De Torreses have done in the Philippines. Till one day, a missionary came, those mountains, started just bringing the gospel. And the pastor was able to win my father to the Lord. This is not my grandfather. It's my mom, my father. He started to open that. He grew up in a religion there that's very popular. Never have learned the Bible. Never have any gospel. But when he was presented the gospel, he got saved. And he started to have a thirst for the word of God. He got persecuted. The youngest of their family, the De Torreses, he left that place. Went down and was wanting to find a place, a church that preached the word of God. Finally, he did. Went there, pastor discipled him, he grew. He went to youth camp, that's where he met my mom. They got married and served the Lord. I'm telling you that because, to tell this, if the gospel never reached my dad, tonight, I'll not be here. I'll be preaching. I'll still be on that mountain, the Tayabas, Quezon, getting coconut from coconut trees, cutting it down, selling it, being drunk, sleeping. My boys will not be here. They'll be playing the guitar. They'll hear the gospel. This is why we're here, because we thank God for a great and godly heritage. And thankful that even though my father had no great heritage, but when he met the Lord, he got saved. Then God started in his life a great heritage. Tonight, you got a great heritage, great church, great pastor, great people. May God help us that until death calls us home or until God comes back, that we would like be Shammah, realizing that God has blessed us so much and we be faithful and careful in our Christian life until God comes back and that God could use us greatly in this generation. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for salvation, for Jesus Christ, for missions. We thank you, Lord, for missionaries and for those who have brought the gospel. Lord, tonight I pray that if there's anyone here who's lost, there's no hope of heaven. Maybe their past is broken and they have no great heritage to talk about, but Lord, tonight, if they know they're lost and they need you, I pray they come to you tonight and be saved, that you could start in their life a brand new legacy. Lord, for our sake tonight, may we always realize, Lord, that we cannot be able to stay faithful apart from the word of God, the church of God, the word, the people of God. I pray tonight that we be faithful. Just like Shammah, Lord, you honor us. Lord, your word says that we honor you, you're going to honor us. So tonight I ask, speak to our hearts. May we go home a better people for the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.